Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Glad to be with you. Glad to be healthy this week here on the Hoosier Report. And again, thanks for bearing with us last week. I was out Wednesday, sick Thursday and Friday. We were with you on the air, but not the best of programming, just trying to get through, to be quite honest with you. But glad to be back in the saddle and feeling good and ready to roll this week with you. And we hope that you'll join us every day at 11 o'clock right here on the show. Again, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and, of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. You can listen 1450 AM, 96.1 FM if you're with us here in Southern Indiana, the Kentuckiana area. Also streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. And if you can't make it during our live show at 11, there's a replay most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X. And of course, podcasting, we're available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two of the most popular apps, the easiest apps to locate our podcast on if you ever miss the live program. No matter how you listen, we are really glad to have you with us. Thanks for your feedback. Thanks for your listenership. Thanks for your support in what we do here on the program. Let's get to it today. Romeo Langford has arrived in Boston. Romeo tweeted earlier this morning that he was glad to be in his new city. And then, like minutes ago, the Boston Celtics sent a picture out on social media of Romeo Langford and all of their draft night picks walking across the, it looks like the practice facility of the Celtics, and they're all decked out. In fact, Romeo with a green button-up shirt with a black tie and a nice trendy suit with even a white stripe going down both legs. So looking good are the draft class of the Celtics, and I'm sure I can only imagine a couple things for Romeo and anybody that was drafted first, second round, picked up through free agency after draft night stuff. I could only imagine what their life has been like the last number of days. Can you imagine? You get picked on Thursday night. You find out officially where you're going, where your city, what your destination's going to be. From that point forward, you celebrate maybe a little bit Thursday night, and then after that, you transition to your new place. And in addition to transitioning to a new city, these are young guys. These are guys that are college graduates or, you know, a couple years into college. In Romeo's case, 1 year into college, still 19 years old, not quite 20 years old yet. So young guys making some big, big transitions in their personal lives. Then you've got to take on top of that all the paperwork and the business end of it. And obviously, that's what they have agents for, to make the processes seamless and to take away the confusion and to handle the negotiations and any potential problems or discussions that could come up. But still, I can only imagine the number of things that have to be signed, the T's that have to be crossed, the I's that have to be dotted. And then outside of stuff with the team, you know, their personal marketing opportunities and personal things. We've already seen Romeo come out with a line of shirts on his social media that he's selling. We've already seen Romeo come out with a Panini Instant Basketball rookie card, which is something that would be between him and the Panini company. So a lot of opportunities like that. I think he had a hat deal with New Era that was put on his Instagram account. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And of course, most important, I can assure you, to Romeo Langford is settling down in Boston so he can really dig into his basketball stuff and begin to work out with the Celtics personnel, the front office staff, the coaching staff, get to know the teammates. There's so much going on for these guys right now. Also, in Romeo's case, and I'm looking at the photo right now, it looks like, yes, the cast, he's got a purple cast now on his hand. But it looks like, in his case, obviously, a big thing of what's going to happen, and I'm sure that this has already started to happen, is the Celtics team doctor and medical staff that look at these guys before and after every game and are on top of every minor or major condition that they have. They'll start to evaluate and do their own process of what happened to Romeo and where's his recovery process out at and how far is he away, in their opinion, from being able to return to the floor. Will he play in the Las Vegas Summer League coming up here in a few weeks? So I can only imagine what Romeo's life has been like. All the people that have contacted him, that have text messaged him, that have tweeted him, that have tried to reach out to him, the interviews, just so much. The travel, the leaving your family behind, I'm sure at some point, to start a new journey in Boston. Just a lot of stuff going on. And a neat time to see a local player not just get drafted, but enter this new phase of his life. And very soon, maybe even as soon as early July, I didn't realize the Summer League in Vegas, that I think it's starting earlier than what it normally does. I know there used to be one in Orlando that got started in early July. There used to be a short one out in Salt Lake that got started sooner, and then Vegas was the big deal from the middle part of the month to the end of the month. It gets started earlier this year, it looks like. So within two and a half weeks, potentially, we could see Romeo Langford suiting up for the Celtics if he's deemed healthy enough. And if that hand, that thumb injury has recovered enough, we could see him at least in a summer league situation suiting up for the Celtics very soon. So what a whirlwind of time over the last few days to see him progress to this point and now, of course, begin his NBA career. It's just going to be a lot of fun to talk about it. The good news is I did not realize this, and you know, you don't really think about the people that you know or contacts you have different places across the country, but there are a couple people from this area, or that have connections at least to this area in their media days, that are now at Boston covering the Celtics, whether it's TV or newspaper. And so I'm going to reach out to those people, and hopefully we've got, I know we'll have some guests on related to the Celtics from time to time, whether it be beat writers and things like that, as we transition to cover Romeo in the NBA. But there's some guys with local connections that you might know, so hopefully it works out where some of those guys can join us on a regular basis to talk about Romeo Langford and the Celtics. And, of course, I know a lot of people will be wearing Boston Celtics green, which is a great thing. So when you see a Celtics shirt or insignia in Southern Indiana, I know there are a handful of diehard Celtic fans that have loved the Celtics going back maybe to the days of Larry Bird, but there'll be a lot of new fans, and that'll be great. And I'm sure that the Celtics will become Southern Indiana's adopted team, at least in New Albany and some of the immediately surrounding areas that support Romeo and will continue to support him in Boston as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Then later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will be with us. We'll talk Romeo to the NBA. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk recruiting and more coming up with Zach. Zach's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. And then later in the show, we turn to some local subjects, although I know he's going to want to talk some Romeo Langford as well. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSAA executive board member, he'll be with us today as well. I know with Chad, we're going to talk Romeo, Coach Shannon being at the draft, his high school coach there, his college coach there, and Archie Miller. We'll talk the wrap-up of Summer League basketball, which locally is starting to slow down this week. You've got some teams that are away at team camps. You've got other teams that are maybe headed to team camp later this week or headed to the Charlie Hughes Shootout, which is where college coaches will be able to be at over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then, of course, next Monday, a week from today, it's a dead period. So it's a good rest opportunity for the players to get away, get some rest, enjoy summer break. Workouts can resume again later in July. Some schools will do so, some won't, but nonetheless, a dead period a week from today, and things will really slow down as far as high school summer ball goes. We'll get more into the recruiting stuff, more into the shoe stuff, the travel stuff, new NCAA camps coming up later this summer as well, and then, of course, a big basketball thing that we'll be in will be NBA Summer League, which is going to be fun as well. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get a $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And now let's jump into our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A number of things to get to quickly here in this first segment. IU Athletics announcing just earlier this morning its 38th Athletics Hall of Fame class for this Hall of Fame class for the inductions that will take place later this calendar year. Some big names and some good names on the list this year, headlined by Eric Anderson, former men's basketball player from 1989 to 1992, and of course recently passed away in December at the age of 48. Neat to see him get honored by IU Athletics. Also, from a basketball perspective, really he is the only basketball candidate, or I should say honoree, on the group this year. Kay Burris, the field hockey coach and also women's basketball coach later in her career at IU, she's one of the 2019 inductees. Chris Gartner, he was a football player from 70 to 72. Jeff Overton, men's golfer from 2002 to 2005. Rose Richmond, women's track and field athlete from 2000 to 2003. And Donnie Thomas, football player from 1973 to 1975, make up a great class. And again, headlined obviously by Eric Anderson. Not only is he a men's basketball player and alumni, but passed away in December. So it's a neat timing for him to enter the class of 2019 for IU Athletics and the Hall of Fame. Also, over the weekend, it was the first of two evaluation periods, brand new, never happened before, and I'm talking going all the way back to when I can remember July being a big month when coaches could be on the road and AAU tournaments really took over the basketball scene. College coaches have always been allowed and wanted to go to AAU and shoe circuit stuff because there are a number of good players playing on teams that they've been playing with now since the end of the high school or the school ball season. However, that's different. I've said this a lot on the program. Many changes in the recruiting calendar this year, probably none that affect athletes as big as anything here in Indiana, as last weekend and this coming weekend, high school coaches, or I should say college coaches, could get out and watch high school teams if the event was sanctioned by the IHSAA. The IHSAA said, hey, we're going to let the Indiana basketball coaches run events on both of those two live weekends. Those will be the only events in Indiana that Division I college coaches will be certified to attend, hoping that they could find ways to gather the very best players and teams. So what happened this weekend in Indiana, they had an underclassmen showcase. They got together the top 100 underclassmen players, a lot of juniors that'll be seniors next year, a number of guys that'll be sophomores and juniors next year, but again, primarily dominated by players that are seniors-to-be, like Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal and Nigel Pack, who recently committed to Kansas State. That took place at Ben Davis, lots of courts at the Indianapolis school. Archie Miller was there. Matt Painter was there. I think every Indiana school was represented by their head coach. There were lots of assistant coaches there from other Big Ten schools and from other colleges across the Midwest to watch a number of good players. And what this was, again, players selected, the top players in Indiana, and then just put on randomly, split up on teams. The kids went through drills first, followed by games. So you're looking at teams of kids that have been put together for this event, not necessarily teams of players that have played together or mesh well together or know each other well or know each other's abilities well or when to hit this player with the pass or when this player can do that. So it doesn't necessarily make for the best evaluation basketball, which has been a big complaint so far. But nonetheless, college coaches at that event, that event's been going on forever, but Division I coaches just could never attend because it wasn't during a live period. So interesting to see, different to see, Division I coaches at an event like that watching players, and we'll see if this holds after a year or two or if there are some changes for year two of this new NCAA recruiting calendar. But that was the first weekend of high school contact during the month of June. Next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Division I coaches will be able to attend the Charlie Hughes Shootout, which is a four-game deal for teams that sign up. I think there are 105 or more varsity teams in Indiana that are in the field. A number of teams from our area, we'll talk more about it later in the week and tell you the schedule, are going to participate. And a lot of college coaches are expected to be there. The events spread out over Hamilton, Southeastern, Carmel, North Central, maybe even a couple additional sites as well since they had so many teams. But it'll be the only opportunity this summer for high school coaches to watch these high school prospects that they may be recruiting with their high school team. So definitely something different. Definitely, I think it's neat. I like the involvement of the high school stuff. Personally, I think that the college coaches are probably better served when they watch high school teams play, because the teams have been playing together all month, and in most cases these kids know each other dating back to previous seasons as well, as opposed to a camp where kids are kind of randomly sorted together. So maybe next year you'll see two team event opportunities instead of a showcase and a team event, or maybe the showcase will be in the middle of a team event where you could kind of get the best of both worlds in one weekend. All sorts of ideas out there on what the best path could look like for coaches to evaluate this. But it's new times, it's different times, and we'll see how it goes. But some big opportunities this weekend with all the coaches there that you would expect. Again, Archie Miller was, I saw a picture of him situated between two courts at Ben Davis. He kind of had his chair side to side where he could look to his right and watch one court. He could watch to his left and watch another court. I know at that very moment he was watching Christian Lander take on Luke Goody and Caleb First. Their camp teams, their showcase teams, were scrimmaging against each other at that moment at Ben Davis High School. Also, you know, this is going on across the country. Not every state has a live event like you would hope that they would in this first year, but Illinois had a big event, a couple of big events, as a matter of fact. One of those took place in the Chicago area. IU coaches were there as well. It was a team event, so actual high school teams scrimmaging against each other. And coming out of that event, Indiana offered a player that was at that event in the Chicago area. His name is Bryce Hopkins. He's in the class of 2021, so a player that will be a junior next season in Illinois, plays for Fenwick High School, and somebody to keep an eye on. The 2021 class in Indiana is so talented that really, if Indiana can land some of the prospects from within the Hoosier State, there really won't be a need nationally or Midwesternly in that class to go out and get a lot of players. Now, of course, if Indiana is going to miss on some of those guys, other players from surrounding states in the area might be needed. But a 2021 player outside the state being offered at this early point, obviously somebody to keep an eye on that Indiana has a lot of faith in that can be quite a player down the road as well. Also, Summer League for NBA, I mentioned that earlier. The Las Vegas Summer League is kind of the main deal. There is no Orlando Summer League. There's a small Summer League in Salt Lake that's going to take place. But so with that, the Vegas Summer League beginning a lot earlier this year. The Celtics' first game on July 6 at 5:30 on ESPN. They'll take on the 76ers. They come back on July 8th and take on the Cavaliers. That's on NBA TV. They come back on July 9th and take on the Warriors on ESPN2. And then they take on the Memphis Grizzlies on ESPN2 on July 11th to close out the four-game regular season play of the NBA Summer League. Then the tournament in Vegas, it takes place July 12th through the 15th. And again, Romeo, even on draft night, said he expected and hoped that he would make his return to the court for the Celtics in Summer League action. But again, He's just now getting to Boston. I'm sure they're going to completely evaluate all of the draft class and their medical conditions, healthy or not, just to see where they're at. And they will make those determinations if he plays and if he does play, how much he plays. But I know a lot of people hoping Romeo can make his Celtics debut this summer on July 6th in that game. So that'll kind of be the next step for Romeo. What we might get to see him is, does he play? Is he healthy enough? Is the thumb healthy enough? Is the cast off? And does he play summer league basketball at the start or at some point for the Celtics in the NBA? I know it would sure make things a lot more interesting if he did suit up for the Celtics in summer league play. Those are a look at some of the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. The Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, is how we start the program each day. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll be back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk more Romeo. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk some college recruiting and much more coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Zach is the IU insider for the Star, and he's with us Mondays as we talk all things IU athletics here on the program. Of course, we have to start with Romeo, Zach. That's kind of been the theme for a long time now of this program, but especially since he's been drafted by the Boston Celtics. I know that you keep a watchful eye on professional basketball, but obviously you are busy covering the college game and the Indiana Hoosiers year-round with different sports and different subjects. Curious your take on Boston as a destination for him, reuniting with an Indiana-bred coach like Brad Stevens, which is a neat storyline, and obviously some other Indiana connections on the Celtics currently, and also involved in the Celtics draft class on Thursday night as a whole, like Carson Edwards. Your thoughts on Boston as a destination for Romeo at the professional level?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think Romeo went higher than a lot of people expected, fair or not. I think there was that was probably one of the more kind of hotly debated, you know, sort of draft topics, was just how far had Romeo fallen compared to where he was coming into last season, and kind of compared to the way that it seemed like the league saw him pre the one season at Indiana. He certainly didn't seem to fall as far as a lot of people thought he would, in terms of, you know, I think there was a perception that he could really dip. He could really get down to, you know, the late teens or the 20s, that he could be one of the draft's kind of big, you know, plummeters, if you want to say that. Obviously didn't really happen. And I think that, you know, in terms of Boston as a destination, I think is interesting largely because it's kind of hard to know where Boston is. It doesn't seem like they're going to re-sign Kyrie Irving, at least as I understand these things. It seems like they're actually kind of preparing for a world without Irving or Horford. Which means that, you know, that's a potential, not a full-scale tear down, because there's a lot of young talent already in Boston, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, who I think they really see as a kind of cornerstone piece of their franchise moving forward. But nevertheless, it feels like maybe Boston is preparing to kind of take some steps back to take long-term steps forward. And if you're Romeo Langford and you're kind of stepping into that sort of situation, I think you have to see that as a potential positive, as a real chance to step in and see minutes early, but also a chance to kind of carve out a role. Because I think sometimes what can happen with young players, I mean, not just in the NBA, but certainly in the NBA, is that you get you kind of get into a place and everything sounds great in theory, and then in practice, when it's time for everybody to worry about winning games, you know, you just don't see as much of the floor, and you struggle to carve out a role for yourself. And even if you're getting better behind the scenes, the reality is you kind of wake up 2 years down the line and you still haven't seen a whole lot of playing time. And so I think it could be good for Romeo to just go to a place where it seems like they're going to be investing more in letting young players kind of step up and try to sort of take the Celtics to in a different direction long term. We'll see, obviously, just how all that translates, but I think it seems on its face anyway to be a good landing spot for Romeo.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, you know, there's so much talk about what will his connection to the IU program be. He was there for a year, but we know how he took the state by storm in his high school career and what a big deal it was that simply he committed to Archie Miller in Indiana on that day back in April that really hasn't been that long ago, a year and a couple months, I guess. But that said, you know, he had the candy stripes at the draft in New York on Thursday night as a liner in his coat, which was cool. And, you know, there have been criticisms by fans, which I think are just absolutely ignorant in all cases, based on the numbers he put up despite playing through his injury. And you hear guys like Brad Stevens and others with the Celtics in the organization after he was drafted make comments about how impressed they were he chose to play through the injury and continue on with his one-year college career instead of pulling out and worrying about maybe his draft stock first. But people want to know, what's his connection to Indiana going to be like? Is he going to be one of those guys that's back at the school, that's working out there in the off season, that is helping with recruiting and following the team and maybe coming to a game if he has a date that happens to work? And I think because of Thursday night alone with the candy stripes, and I saw over the weekend he almost immediately retweeted when IU offered a player from Illinois over the weekend in support of that, that you've got to believe he is well-connected. He leaves IU well-connected with the coaching staff and the program. Archie Miller was at the draft on Thursday night. A lot of people wondered if that would be the case. But all indications to me say he's a guy that's going to be very close to the IU program moving forward and the coaching staff. Do you feel that way? Do you see some of these things as well that I see as indicators as to why he may be?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it, and I mean, there were questions about whether or not Archie would attend the draft. You know, some coaches do, some coaches don't, but there were questions about whether or not Archie would wind up kind of, you know, coming for the draft. Obviously, as you mentioned, he was there. There was the thing he did with his coat, which is just kind of one of those things that you sort of feel like if he doesn't do it, it's not like anybody, you know, raises a huge stink about it, but that he did it, I think, meant a lot, it seemed like, to IU fans. And just generally speaking, I think it certainly feels like Romeo Langford had enough of I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it certainly doesn't feel like he left Indiana with a terribly sour taste. And I remember, you know, something that I think his dad talked about that I've heard other players talk about. I remember Yogi Ferrell talking about it, was basically, if you're from Indiana, you know, at some point everybody's got to worry about life after basketball. And if you're from Indiana and you go to Indiana, there is a level of, you know, essentially, I don't want to say that's setting you up for life, but like that really does kind of provide you a platform in later life that you otherwise kind of maybe wouldn't have if you'd gone out of state wherever you decided to go for college, you know, if you're Romeo Langford. And I think that there's probably some consideration of that as well, that he understands that being an Indiana guy that stuck with Indiana is something that's going to be remembered for a long time. And I also think, you know, the other thing too, and this is something I would just say in general for quote unquote disappointing seasons, quote unquote disappointing careers, players, whatever, time tends to heal a lot of wounds. You tend to remember the positives much more so than the negatives. You tend to remember, you know, kind of the good things that happened and those sorts of things. And it's worth pointing out that, yeah, the season was frustrating. I don't think anybody doubts that. but the Romeo Langford experience in terms of the way he conducted himself on the court and off the court, in terms of obviously, once again, the, you know, I think it became a topic of conversation, how willing he was to sign autographs and things like that. That was always, I think, roundly positive. And so I think, you know, certainly from Indiana's perspective, I would imagine that long-term you're kind of talking about a guy who is going to be remembered positively and remembered fondly. And it seems anyway, like the same can be said for the way that, that Romeo will remember his time at IU. So
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us, always with us on Mondays. I want to transition away, and I know that we'll continue to talk Romeo, and of course, kind of next is to see if he plays in the summer league, if he's healthy enough with the thumb to do so. I know we'll come back to that here in the off-season time, but I do want to transition to the IU Athletics Hall of Fame class of 2019. It was announced earlier this morning. Looks like a very solid class, and it's highlighted, as I mentioned in our headline segment today, by Eric Anderson, a 6'9" forward who passed away in December at the early age of 48 years old. Obviously, he was a player deserving of the award, but it's really special and neat when you can see an award like this match up with the death of someone, because so recently after he's been gone, to be honored in a very good way by the university is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for all. So sad he's not here, won't be here to go through that process, but it's probably a very timely thing that he's being inducted. So he, I think, kind of is the men's basketball player on the list, and as someone obviously that was has been a unfortunate newsmaker with his death back in December, he obviously headlines, I think it's safe to say, this 2019 IU athletics class.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he kind of is the headliner, and at very least, as you said, he is the men's basketball representative, and it always kind of feels like, you know, men's basketball and football typically, not always, but typically each have, you know, at least one representative in most of the Hall of Fame classes. And I think it's just sort of standard that way to place like Indiana, where obviously men's basketball is going to be so prominent. And then with football, you're just dealing with, you know, quite frankly, so many athletes that you're going to have people who are deserving and are worthy. As you said, I think Anderson's a player who long-term was going to wind up in the Hall of Fame anyway. You would imagine that Indiana probably tried to make a concerted effort to make sure he was honored this season in particular because of his passing, and just kind of to honor kind of, you know, his legacy, for lack of a better term. But it's important to remember, I mean, Jeff Anderson had a really, really good career at Indiana. He was, I think, as I remember kind of thinking about it when I was writing about writing his obituary, the thing that struck me was just how complete of a career he had. You know, he was a top 10 player in things like rebounds, points. I want to say he was top 10 in blocks. He won a couple different Big Ten titles. He, you know, he was a player who was really well regarded as a freshman. And by the time he was a senior, the team around him was so much more talented that you talk to some of his teammates, he was willing to take on sort of lesser roles because it was better for Indiana as a whole. And so I think it's kind of one of those where it's not just, you hope that people don't just think that this is sort of some, you know, commemorative thing, that it's only happening because he passed, because I think the reality is that he very much is deserving, as just, you know, for who he was as an athlete, for what he did during his time at Indiana, not just because he was, you know, not just because he made the news with his unfortunate passing last year. So you would imagine there would have been a spot for Anderson in the Hall of Fame at some point, one way or the other, but obviously it's happening now.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman with me. Zach, final subject, final question for you before we let you go for this week. Archie Miller and a lot of other head coaches out this weekend recruiting at high school events in Indiana. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it was a showcase-type format, the top 100 underclassmen showcased by the IBCA, the Coaches Association. IU coaches were also elsewhere. I think one of the assistants up in Philadelphia at a high school team event. I believe Archie was over in Illinois in the Chicago area at a high school team event as well. There was a scholarship offer to a 2021 player from Fenwick, Illinois, that kind of tied in with that event. But that said, it's different to see not just Archie Miller, but all college coaches out this weekend and this coming weekend as well at high school events. It's something new with this new recruiting calendar that we have talked so much about, and I like it. It's just taking some difference to get used to, I guess. It's not your typical environment for coaches. There aren't all the star-studded players there that there might be at a shoe circuit event. But, of course, in Indiana, when you get the top 100 players together of guys that are going to be seniors and juniors and sophomores, maybe a couple freshmen, but I think it was primarily juniors, seniors, juniors, and sophomores for next year, you obviously have a very star-studded class of guys to watch and evaluate. Different, I guess, is the word I use to say to see coaches at these type of events.
Yeah, and just to kind of get a feel for the way the summer moves, you know, it's been weird to kind of talk to kids about, you know, where you're going this summer, you know, what are you looking forward to the most in terms of this tournament or that tournament. It's just, it's kind of been strange to kind of think about this whole summer very differently and think about the fact that all of a sudden June is a lot more relevant than it used to be. July and April and May aren't quite as, and it's clear everybody's adjusting to that. And listen, we can have a conversation, I think a fair debate about whether or not this was all necessary to begin with. But nevertheless, you know, this is kind of where we are. And, you know, the one thing I always said when people kind of asked about it was, I just sort of figured everyone would adjust. Like, I just sort of assumed that everyone would find a way to, you know, make the best of the situation. You know, it's obviously probably not what necessarily the coaches wanted, not necessarily even maybe what some of the players wanted, their families, their high school coaches, their AAU coaches, whatever. But the larger point is everybody adjusts. You know, if the calendar shifts, everybody adjusts. You know, I mean, I can remember a time and a place where you saw a lot more just general sort of evaluation windows. It felt like the coaches were everywhere all the time. Now, you know, even before these changes, it was more restricted. It was more, well, they're going to be at this and this, but they won't be able to be at any of these events. Everybody's going to figure out a way to make this work, because the reality is coaches still need players. Players still need schools. You know, none of that has changed, and none of that is going to change. And so it's going to, you know, I think the phrase I've used in the past is it's going to fit a little weird. It's going to feel a little bit like a new pair of shoes, but everybody's going to figure out a way to make it work eventually, because at the end of the day, again, you know, all of these, this whole process still needs to kind of happen. Coaches need to find players to fill out their rosters. Players need to find programs so that they can play college basketball. All of that will continue to work pretty much okay. It's just a question of whether or not it happens at this time of the summer or that time of the summer, or whether it happens at certain events or what. So I've always just kind of felt like it was going to be fine. I didn't think a lot of this needed to change, but it has changed. And so everybody's just going to adjust and figure out a new way of doing things and you know, move on from there.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he's with us Mondays on the Hoosier Report. Zach, as always, thanks for the great insight. Always fun to catch up, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman with us on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Local sports, things in Southern Indiana, our weekly segment with Charlestown Athletic Director and also IHSAA Executive Board member Chad Gilbert, who joins the program next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program means Chad Gilbert is with us on the Hoosier Report. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's also the local IHSAA executive board member representing our area, and he loves sports and basketball, so he fits in well on this program. Chad, great to have you with us, and I know that since even before and after now, we've talked so much Romeo Langford, and you and I have texted back and forth and stayed on top of the situation, and I know that you've enjoyed greatly seeing a local guy get drafted, and now we'll get to enjoy all the things that happen as he joins the Celtics officially this week. But that said, as a guy that's been around the basketball community for many years and seen some great players come through our area and go on to have great careers at the collegiate and maybe even somewhat of a professional level, your thoughts on Romeo being the first NBA draft pick from Floyd County? And I know there was some argument about that. I saw some debate on Twitter about that maybe someone else from Floyd County had been drafted before. But for now, we're calling him the first draft pick from Floyd County. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Matt, first of all, I do love sports, but I love being in my pool also. This rain, I've gotten 5 days in the pool, 5 days since May 3rd. Come on, rain. It's time to give us up a little bit. I'm ready to get in. But as far as Romeo goes, you know, it's obvious I'm a Romeo fan. I do not know Romeo that well. I wish I did. I did not have an opportunity to coach Romeo. I wish I did. But what I have got to do is be a spectator and enjoy the ride from a step back and to see all the things that he's, one, accomplished, two, he's worked for, and three, the way he's handled himself. Now, let's make no mistake. Romeo Langford won the genetic lottery. He can do things that I can work forever and I'll never be able to do. You can work forever, you'll never be able to do. My kids probably, you know, who knows? They're still young, but they may never be able to do the things that Romeo do. Hope they can, but that takes a lot of – you're blessed with that. You have won the genetic lottery. And all those guys who have NBA lottery picks, they won the genetic lottery. So there's a lot of things that, with that one. With Romeo's situation where he's in now, who wouldn't want to play for the Boston Celtics? Who wouldn't want to play for Brad Stevens? I'm sure Brad Stevens has known Romeo since Romeo's in seventh grade. And it will be a good situation for Romeo. But just like so many things, Matt, it has to be the right fit. In jobs, it's got to be the right fit. You might be the more qualified, but are you the best fit? Coaching, you may have a team that fans are used to getting up and down the court, and you may be the best coach in the state, and you want to walk it up and down. That's not a good fit. Recruitment, you may be the best 6'5" guard and want to go to Louisville so bad, or go to Indiana so bad, but Louisville's got 5'6" guards. It's not the right fit. This show, you and me, we have great banter back and forth. There's lots of people that know much, much more about sports than me, but is it the right fit? And the same thing as the NBA. Is Romeo the right fit? I would think Danny Ainge and those guys know what they're doing. I would think the Celtics are going to make some moves, and I would venture to say that, yes, Romeo is the right fit. It's all about, you know, I hate to quote somebody on this, but it's the right person at the right time for the right position. And I think that Romeo Langford is in a position to do that and be very successful at the next level.
I think if Romeo had been drafted, obviously, by a team where we did not have that feeling, and again, this is our opinion, and I'm in absolute lockstep with you saying it's the right fit. What a exciting franchise to be part of at this time. But even if it wasn't maybe a place you felt that it was the right fit, we would be excited, we would be hopeful, we would be cheering for him, we would be talking about it on this program. But I think that's what makes this thing, at least to me, extra special and extra exciting is You look at the Boston Celtics, we know who the coach is. We know what kind of person he is on and off the court. We know the issues the Celtics have had and haven't had in recent years. You know what Romeo's game is and what type of person he is, even more importantly than what his game is on the court. And it really does seem like that fit, that right fit you talk about, which makes the whole thing, I think, even more exciting to see. Is this going to be, you know, a place where he can really, yeah, his thumb and the hand and the shooting, we know that has to improve for him to have the NBA career that we all want him to, and of course that he wants to. But as far as just the fit goes, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I think that just makes it even more exciting, what was already exciting, knowing that someone goes to a place where they can really help and it's a good situation already is even more exciting for Romeo and his family, I'm sure.
You know, what number is Romeo going to be? I hope he's number 33. And he can follow the steps of Bird in the 33 jersey.
I don't know.
Get him out there and bring it back, but that would be
exciting.
But
first,
Romeo,
everybody at first thought he was going to be 00 because, you know, it's marketing now. It's a money game. Mm-hmm. And immediately you could order jerseys and all the graphics had 00s. And, of course, he was 0 at Indiana. But then somebody said, hey, wait a second. Look at all the rookies tonight. They're all 00. They haven't signed their contract. They haven't gotten their number assigned to them or had a chance to pick what's available. So I don't know the Celtics roster enough to know if 0 or 1 or whatever numbers he's worn in the past is available, but it will be interesting to see.
Well, you can guarantee Romeo knows because like you said, his camp has not missed a beat on marketing, and they will do an excellent job. And you know what? And just a second to shout out to his camp and all the hard work it's put in. You know, my kid, it's hard. You know, if someone's picking him up to go work out, or his parents are taking him to the gym to work out, or his high school coach is working out with him, his seventh grade coach, that's hard. That's hard for him. That's hard for his parents. And he's done that all the way through. You know, it's so much easier. My kids like to watch YouTube and watch these two hands open up Easter eggs. You know, it's easy. They're over there. They're behaved. We're doing what we need to do. But that's not making my kids any better. Romeo's parents, Romeo, his camp has made him better, and he has worked hard and sacrificed to be in this position.
And also I've told Richie, this is from Brian Sullivan, who's kind of our resident historian here. Richie Johnson, another New Albany guy, third round, was the 64th pick overall in 1985 by the Detroit Pistons. So he would get the crown of being the first from Floyd County. Romeo can take the crown of first lottery pick from Floyd County that has been drafted into the NBA. So, but neat stuff. And Chad, also you and I text some about this. It was neat to see his high school coach get the opportunity for the most part throughout draft day to take part in what was a special day for one of his former players. And neat to see Archie Miller there as well.
Well, you know, just talk about Jim Shannon for a little bit. What an awesome experience. How good is that for him? You know, he's supporting his guy. You know what surprised me? If he's up at UMass next year watching his guy, you know, that's always something that he's done. You think about the McDonald's All-American game, he's there. IU games, he's there. You know, in the season, he's coaching his own team. He's teaching a full schedule, and he makes an opportunity to get to Indiana. You know, average fans say, well, you know, he's getting free tickets. Well, that's fine, he's getting free tickets, but I guarantee, you know, he's paying for that travel. Lodging's not free. Food's not free. He's sacrificing, and that's awesome to see that coach have that relationship and be proud of his players.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, thanks so much for the chat. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Back with you Tuesday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.